That song, Hilltops of Glory Land, reminds me of, you know, talking about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And our lesson this morning is going to start off with a story from the Old Testament, the story of Saul, and how Saul was commanded by God to do something, to go and to punish a particular people for the sins that they had committed against humanity, against the nation of Israel. And the story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 20, 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in this particular story, Saul does not obey the Lord. And it's a object lesson for Israel and for all of us as well in thinking about the command to obey the Lord. And this morning, that's what we're going to look at, this particular command, obey the Lord. And you might think, well, it's kind of funny that God would have to tell people to obey Him. Seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? That God is God, and He's the ultimate authority, and He wants us to listen to Him. But the Bible says many times in the Old Testament, the New Testament, that there are those who simply will not listen to the Lord's commands. And so, not only does God give commands and expect us to obey Him, but then He tells us, makes it very clear, obey the Lord. And that's a command in and of itself. And so this morning I thought we'd take a look at that command. Obey the Lord. God has a lot of commandments in the Bible. There are the Ten Commandments, but there are many other commandments just beside the Ten Commandments. And one of the commandments is this. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, Samuel confronts Saul regarding his disobedience in respect to the command that the Lord gave him. And the Lord gave him a command to go and to fight against the Amalekites for crimes against humanity. But Saul did not obey the Lord completely. Oh, he fought a battle and he killed a lot of people, but then he left the king alive and he left all the livestock alive, which the Lord had commanded that he did not do. And so when confronted by Samuel, Saul said he had obeyed the Lord. But Samuel pointed out that he had not obeyed the Lord at all. And then he makes this statement, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Saul had reason. Well, I saved all of these animals for sacrifice so that we can make sacrifices to the Lord. And thus had justified himself in the actions that he had taken or had failed to take. And Samuel made it clear that it was better to be obedient than to sacrifice. Well, this morning we want to look at what it means to obey the Lord. We're going to take a look at three questions in respect to this command of obey the Lord. First of all, what does the commandment mean? Secondly, who is responsible to follow it? And third, why must we obey it? So first of all, what does it mean to obey the Lord? Well, it means several things, but let's take a look at a few. First of all, it means to do and not just hear what the Lord says. You know, the Bible makes it clear in several verses, not just these, but in many, that God expects us to carry out His will, to actually perform it, to observe it, if you will. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James chapter 1, verse 22. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And so to obey the Lord, first of all, means to do what the Lord says to do. If the Lord says go, then we must go. If the Lord says stay, then we must stay. If the Lord says observe the Lord's Supper, we must observe the Lord's Supper. You know, whatever the Bible says we must do, we've got to do it. And we've got to do it like the Lord wants us to do it. And so to obey the Lord means doing what the Lord says, not just hearing it. But it also means respecting the Word of God. We've got to respect the authority of the Word of God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What happens if we do not speak as the oracles of God? What happens if we do not minister with the ability that God has given us, that is, through His Word? Then Jesus Christ is not glorified. But we want to glorify Jesus Christ, and that's why we need to respect the authority of the Word of God. How do we do that? We follow the commands that God has given us, the examples that He has given us, and the necessary inferences that He has given us in His holy Word. And that means we've got to study the Word of God, and we've got to understand it. It's not enough to just let it sit on the table. It's not enough to just casually pass by it through the week. We've got to open it up and read it and think about it and ask ourselves, how does this apply to my life? When we respect the authority of the Word of God, we will be speaking and ministering as God has told us in His Word. But respecting the authority of God also means respecting the silence of the Word of God. 2 John 1 verse 9, John wrote, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. In other words, if we go beyond the Word, like, for example, Nadab and Abihu did in Leviticus chapter 10, when they took strange fire and offered it as an offering to the Lord, and the Lord did not accept that and sent down fire from heaven to destroy them because they did not respect the Word of God. They transgressed. They went beyond God's Word. They did not abide within God's teaching. And as a result, God was displeased. So we've got to respect the Word of God. We've got to respect what the Word of God says. And we've got to respect the silence of the Word of God and not go beyond what the Word of God says. And to do that, and when we do that, we are obeying the Lord. And thinking about what does it mean to obey the Lord, doing what the Lord says to do, not just hearing, respecting the authority of the Word of God, but then also demonstrating love for God within our lives. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. In 1 John 5 verses 2 and 3, John wrote, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said, we must keep the commandments. John said, we must keep the commandments, and that keeping these commandments is proof that we love one another and that we love God. It disturbs me when there are people out there in the religious world who say, oh, you don't have to worry about keeping God's commandments. You don't have to worry about obeying the Lord if you don't want to. If you want to, fine. If you don't want to, fine. God will save you anyway. That is false doctrine. The Bible does not teach that. Jesus never taught that. We have got to keep the commandments of the Lord. We've got to obey the Lord. It is a command of the Lord to obey the Lord. And so we must do that. But who is responsible to obey the Lord? Number two. What does it mean to obey the Lord? But who is responsible to obey the Lord? And the answer to that is every single person is responsible to obey the Lord. The Israelites we're required to obey the Lord. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 14 says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him." When we go through the Bible, we see that the nations are required to obey the Lord. Romans 16 verse 26 says, "But now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known," watch it, "to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." And what does that mean? It means that God commanded that the gospel be preached to all nations so that all nations could do what? Obey the gospel for obedience to the faith. That's what it says right there. All nations. The Israelites were required. All nations are required. Disciples are required to obey the Lord. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them," notice right here, "to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." What does that mean? To observe all things. Well, if you've ever been driving down the road and you've seen construction signs, and a lot of times those construction signs will say, "Observe state law," right? You've seen that. Observe the state law. Regarding what? Regarding the construction zone. Well, what does that mean? It means obey it. It means to follow it. It means to keep it. We've got to observe all things that Christ has commanded us. And what does that mean? That means to obey them. And so disciples are required to obey the Lord. In fact, every single person, everywhere, is required to obey the Lord. In Acts 17, verse 30, the Apostle Paul said this, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." God commands all people everywhere to repent. And so every person everywhere is required to obey the Lord. The Israelites were required to obey the Lord. The nations are required to obey the Lord. Disciples are required to obey the Lord. And every single person everywhere is required to obey the Lord. So there's not a single person who's excepted from that command. And there are consequences then for those who do not obey the Lord. Notice Romans chapter 1 and verses 24 and 25 concerning those who did not obey the Lord. "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." They did not obey the Lord. And so the Bible says that God gave them up. If we don't want God to give us up, then we need to obey the Lord. And in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, it says that when Jesus returns, that in flaming fire, he will take vengeance on those who do not know God, and watch it, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are consequences for disobedience to the Lord. What does it mean to obey the Lord? It means to do what the Lord says. It means to respect the authority of his word. And it means to demonstrate love for God. Who is responsible to obey the Lord? Every single person everywhere. And there are consequences for those who do not. And finally, why must we obey the Lord? Why must we obey the Lord? And you know, maybe that's the question that so many people ask more often than not. Well, why do I have to do this? Why do we observe it in this way? Why must we do this? Why must we do that? And, you know, if we were to ask that question regarding every person that we met, every single time we met them, I doubt we'd have a lot of friends, right? You know, people ask us to do things and we say, sure, I'll do that. And why is that? Because we love them. We want to help them. We want to serve them. We want to do what they say. And the Lord also has given us instruction. And, you know, when you look into the Word of God and see everything that the Lord has commanded us to do, you know, it's really not burdensome. Like John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, he really gives us a lot of freedom when you think about it. We're free to choose whatever job that we would like to have in this world. We're free to choose our spouse and how many children we're going to have. We're free to choose a lot of things that God has given us great freedom to enjoy in this world. And when we look at the Word of God, He only asks us to do a few things for Him, and He asks us to do it because we love Him. And we should do it because we love Him. And you see, why must we obey the Lord? The basic answer to the question is love. First of all, because God loves us. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. So God has shown what His motives are. And when God gives us a commandment, it's out of the motives that He has already demonstrated, His love for us. And so that's why we obey the Lord, because the Lord loves us. But then also because we must love the Lord, and we should love the Lord. We should love the Lord above everything else and everyone else. He should reign supreme within our lives for the love that we have for Him. In John chapter 14 verse 21, we read, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You see, that's Jesus' words there. And in John 15 and verse 10, again, Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so we love the Lord and we obey his commandments because he loves us and because we love him. But also we obey the commandments of the Lord because we love one another. How can we know if we're truly loving one another? By obeying the commandments of the Lord. 1 Peter 1 verse 22. Since you have purified your souls, watch this, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. How do we love each other? By obeying the truth. You've obeyed the truth, right? Now you know what to do to love other people. So get busy loving them. Get busy obeying the Lord and doing what we know is loving others. And Paul makes it very clear in Romans 13 and verse 9 that keeping the commandments of God is loving other people. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And notice this, and if there is any other commandment, if there's any other commandment, they're all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So you see, God gives us commandments so that we will know how to love others. The world has this completely backwards. The world says, oh no, I can break the commandments of God and still love other people. Again, that is the false doctrine of the world. And the world would call anything and everything, quote unquote, love, that has some kind of emotional feeling attached to it. And the world is continuing to go further and further and further down a deep and dark hole of immorality based on the false notion of love. That love does not mean that you have to keep the commandments of God and follow the word of God. But God says, nope, that's not the way it is. In fact, you only know if you love other people by keeping the commandments of God. That's how you know you're truly loving others. And so, why must we obey the commandments of God? To love other people. And then finally, and sometimes this one is stated first, but really, it's not the most important or not the most priority. It's just the one that's most practical. But that is because obedience is beneficial to everyone. And really, we should love God and we should obey Him simply because of who He is, not necessarily because of what we get out of it. But a lot of times people look at that first and they think, well, this, I've got a benefit from this and so I'm going to do it. But the fact of the matter is that we need to appreciate God for who He is and follow His commandment and follow His word for who He is, not because of what we get out of it. But when we do what God commands, God gives us tremendous blessings. And there's no doubt to that. There's no questioning that. Notice Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of your Lord. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. And the part of this verse that I wanted to focus on was that disobedience leads to death and obedience leads to righteousness, you see. And so there are consequences. An obedience, when we love God, when we obey Him, there are good consequences and people benefit from that. It's when we disobey God that bad things follow. Obey the Lord. What does it mean to obey the Lord? Well, it means that we are going to be doing the Lord's will, not just hearing it. It means that we're going to be respecting the Word of God, both what the Word of God says and the silence of the Word of God. And it means we're going to be demonstrating our love by going out there and proving that we love God by our obedience. Who is responsible to obey the Lord? Every single person, everywhere. And there are consequences for those who do not obey. And why must we obey the Lord? Because God loves us, because we love God, because we love one another, and because there are beautiful consequences for obeying the Lord. Perhaps this morning you need to obey the Lord and some of the things the Lord has said to you for your life. Jesus has commanded us what we need to do to be saved. He has said, you need to hear my word and believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, Jesus Christ came up with that plan. That is not my plan. That is His plan. And He is the Lord. And we must obey Him. And so perhaps someone this morning would like to follow His plan for salvation and put Him on in baptism today. If you would like to do that, we're ready to help you. Or maybe someone here who is a Christian who has already been baptized has said, you know, I haven't been obeying the Lord and I need help doing that. And I want prayer so that I can obey the Lord better. And this morning, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you so that you can have a better walk with God, demonstrate your love for others better, obey the Lord better within your life. And so whatever your need may be, you can come and make it known now while together we stand and while we sing.